Thought for today. To praise another is to praise yourself. To praise another is to praise yourself. To praise another is to praise yourself. Now, some of us go through life saying, please, please, tell me I'm nice, tell me I'm wonderful, tell me I'm desirable. Please, please, confirm to me that I'm a good person. Tell me that you enjoy being with me. Hold my hand. Pat me on the head. Pat me on the bottom. Tell me that you love me. Tell me that you care about me. Tell me that you think I'm wonderful. Please, tell me, tell me, tell me. And that kind of person is sick. That kind of person is right next to being dead. That kind of person is the kind of person that everyone avoids. The kind of person that we want to be is a person who is self-confident. We want to be the kind of person that says, I like me, and I love me. The kind of person that says, I'm all right. I'm going to this party because I'm part of the party. I'm invited, I'm welcome. And you may go to the party and not even be welcome. They might not have you on the list. But if you think you're on the list, you'll just walk right in. If you think really you're on the list, really, really, really you think you're on the list, not just wish you were on the list, but you, oh, of course. And you walk right in, and even though you weren't on the list, they don't ask you a question. They say, well, John, how nice to see you tonight. Well, Anita, where have you been all day? I thought you were going to be over earlier, you know? And then Ellen comes along, and Ellen has a doubt in her mind that she's invited. Ellen comes up to the door, and the person who's in charge says, I know you, you're familiar, but are you on our list? And Ellen says, well, of course. And so he looks down the list and says, no, Ellen. And Ellen says, but, you know, I'm her best friend. You know, I'm always on her list. I invite her to all my parties, and surely she's invited me to this one, you know. But she didn't. And so Ellen goes away feeling very dejected and very sad. Instead of saying to herself, I guess I'll just have to have a party for myself. And go away and be happy. Now, why would it be that we're not invited to somebody's party? We're not invited to somebody's party because we think we're not invited to somebody's party. Now, why did Ellen think she wasn't invited to that party that all her friends were invited to? She had some little thought deep down in her mind that made her feel unhappy. Or, better yet, she was mad at herself for something. She was mad at herself for getting a ticket, for instance, speeding. She was mad at herself for putting her briefcase on top of the car and driving off and having it fall off on the pavement and not being able to find it. She's mad at herself for something. And all that mad at herself, she was on that list. She was on that list, but she created herself off the list because the person's eyes flashed over it and didn't even see her name there. It was there, big and bold. But she created herself off the list by her unhappy attitude. We do that. We create ourselves out of life's joy by an unhappy attitude. How do we create ourselves in life's joy? How do we create ourselves in the happy circumstances of life? By praising ourselves, by praising others, by praising the world. So, how do you begin to praise others? Well, I ask you, look, 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 look. Look at everybody's life. Find something good about them. Their shoes are polished. Find something good about them and dwell upon it. I told you my wife used to write me letters in which it was, she'd tell me everything, tell me about her sadness and her happiness. And I completely ignore the sadness and I dwelt upon the happiness. And I said, how wonderful you're invited out to dinner with your friends after church. They must really think you're a fantastic lady. They must think you're just super, super, super. And then she stopped writing me about the sad things in her life because the sad things stopped happening. And she continued writing about the happy things. And I continued writing to her in relation to the happy things. See, whatever we see, that's what we are. Now, what do you see in life? Do you see happy circumstances? Do you see happy people? Do you see all things, great and small, happy? Or are there a few little areas that need to be polished up? Well, number one, if ever we choose to be our brother's keeper, we're dead. Because our brother doesn't want us to be his keeper or her keeper. Our brother or sister wants to do their own thing. They don't need us telling them how to do it. So what we do, we just go through life saying, hey, you did that great. You did that great. Whatever it is, we choose to have them do great. We say, you did that great. We say, I didn't even do it yet. Well, the only way you know how to do it is to do it great. The only way you know how to do it is to do it great. I only create people doing things in my life great and wonderful. You see? So, I say, Ingeborg, did you turn off the light in the Rancho Paradiso? She says, no. I said, I wonder who that was. So Anita says, I turned it off. I tried to save on electricity. I didn't think the light should be burning all day long. And I said, yeah, but that light is burning all day long and all night. It gives us the night light over there. And somebody doesn't go over there and turn it on all the time and turn it off all the time. So we have a night light on day and night. Maybe we'll put a light sensor on it so at nighttime it'll go on. But at the moment we haven't done that. So we leave it on. And I suppose, Anita, when it's time after breakfast sometime, you want to run over there and turn that light on. Now, you don't really need to do it right this minute. But after breakfast is soon enough. Now, so Anita says, well, that's just what I had in mind to do. Because I realized what I turned off, I should have turned on. You mean you turn on these big searchlights outside on the baseball field and you leave them on all day because somebody didn't turn them off? I'd be hard put to do that. I'd be hard put not to turn those lights off. But why would you turn them off? Because they're using up electricity. You know what it costs to burn each one of those bulbs? It costs $20 an hour to burn each bulb. They consume so much electricity. Wow! And there are 50 of them out there. Wow! So you're saving $50 an hour, or is it $20 an hour? $20 an hour times 50. That's how much? $200 an hour? $2,000 an hour? My goodness, we can't even add, can we? Of course, we're multiplying, so that makes a difference. But how much are we saving? Now, perhaps somebody who's in charge left them on purpose. Perhaps there was a reason for them being on. We don't know. What reason could there be for burning all that electricity and wearing out those bulbs? What reason could there be? Ours is not to question why. Ours is just to pay attention to our own business. Ours is to pay attention to our own business. We see the car sitting in front of the office. It is running. It is running all day long. There's nobody around it. The door is open, and the car is running all day long. And we look at that car and we think to ourselves, someone left the car running. I wonder whose car it is. So we stick our nose in there and look at the registration. We see that it belongs to our neighbor. So we go to our neighbor and we say, you left your car out in front running. And the neighbor says, oh, did I? Oh, goodness, I shouldn't do that. And just that moment, her husband walks in the door. And he said, well, dear, ready to go? Oh, yeah, yeah. But the car was running all day long. Oh, yes, I know. I left it running all day long. We don't drive it enough, but I was breaking in a new gadget widget, you know. Oh, you were? Well, you should have told me. I was going to turn the engine off. Well, I'm glad you didn't. Because the gadget widget had to run exactly 6 2/3 hours to fall into the warranty of it. And I wanted to make sure that the warranty was there. And to me, it was worth more to have it be in warranty than to have the car running. You know? So I left the car running. Oh, my goodness, I would have turned it off. Sweetheart, I appreciate that. But whatever you turn on, you turn off. Whatever I turn on, I turn off. But that's so hard. That's so hard. It's so hard not to be in charge of the rest of the world. But you know, if we had really paid attention to our own life, we wouldn't have seen that engine running. It wouldn't have been in our world at all. But we are nosy people, and we stick our nose in other people's business. We do that so often, it becomes a habit. And because it becomes a habit, we find that we're not invited to parties. Because it becomes a habit, we turn off other people's cars. We turn off other people's lights. Because it becomes a habit, we do things that are not in our scope to do. Now, why do we do things that are not in our scope to do? We seem to get great pleasure out of doing that. Well, that's because we've been taught from childhood that we are our brother's keeper. We've been taught from childhood to be aware of what goes on in our world. We should have been taught from childhood to be aware of what we create in our world. What do you create in your world? Do you create happiness, joy, harmony, love? Do you create everything beautiful? Do you go around your world proclaiming the truth? To praise another is to praise yourself. Do you go around the world praising others? Do you go around the world looking for good? Do you look for people to be joyful, honest, beautiful in every way? If you don't, what happens? Whatever it is you create them to be is what they are. They can be the most beautiful, positive, desirable people on the face of the earth. But because you are creating them out of your unhappy spirit, they're unhappy. Because you create them out of your greed, and they're greedy. Because you create them as people who are people who, what term should we use for them? People who use other people. You create them as people who use other people, and so they are. Now, I am supposed to be your example. I am supposed to be your catalyzer. I'm supposed to be a lot of things for you. But I am also, in doing this, giving you examples of things that I don't want you to pay attention to. So I tell you that people are terrible. I tell you that people are thoughtless. People are users. They're using other people. I tell you that people are not nice. And if you are in a not nice spirit, you'll say, oh, that's right, yeah, I didn't notice that, and that's true. But if you are in a nice spirit, you will say, my gosh, I didn't even notice that. I thought they were just the most lovely, glorious. Oh, really? You're praising another person with your own praise. You're looking at another person, unable to see in them any imperfection. Can you do that? That's tough, isn't it? Can you look at anybody in your life and see only the good in them? Can you praise them? Can you praise them even while they're doing something rather silly? Can you praise them even while they're being mean and hateful, apparently? Can you look beyond that and see the truth about them? You can if you wish, but do you wish to do so? Do you wish to live in a happy, dynamic, forceful, joyful world? Or do you choose to live in a sick world where people are not happy, where people are looking at unhappiness in other people? It all is up to you. Do you want to go around the world like Miss Pollyanna? Remember Miss Pollyanna? Everywhere she went, she saw good. She was not blind. She was not blind to the fact that the little old lady next door needed a little loving. But she went over there because she was loved, and she loved that lady. She talked that lady into being liking herself. She said, what a lovely home you have, what a lovely yard you have. Oh, you keep everything so nice. You are such a sweet and gentle lady. That lady was not a sweet and gentle lady. She did not keep her yard nice. She did not keep her home nice. But Miss Pollyanna went in there, and she found the niceness. Even though it were not all nice, she called it nice. And for her, it was nice. And pretty soon, the lady changed. She began liking her home and keeping it up nice. She began liking herself and keeping her up nice. She began being a wonderful person. Now, how did that start? How did that happen? It doesn't matter. That lady is immaterial. Immaterial. The only thing that is necessary or material is that Pollyanna liked herself, that you and I, we like ourselves. Because wherever we'll go, we will see the goodness. We will see the happiness. We will see the joy. We'll see the success. We'll see those things that are beautiful. Now, when I talk to you and I say to you, gee, that person wasn't very nice. That person's a user. That person's a bad person. And you fall in the trap. And you say, oh yes, that's true. Then what happened? For you, that person is a user. That person is not nice. That person is not pleasant. Is that what you want? Or do you want to see the world as a bed of roses? Do you want to see the world as filled with the fragrance of flowers? Do you want to see the world as a delightful place to be, a place that is so wonderful, so happy, so exciting, that you just want to be part of it all the time? Can you put aside any unhappy thoughts? Mommy, Johnny hit me. He's a terrible boy. He's a bad boy. So mommy takes her purse. Women always have to grab their purses. And she grabbed her purse and she ran next door to Johnny's mother and said, what is the matter with your little boy? He's hitting my Peter. And why is he hitting my Peter? And I don't think that he should be hitting my Peter. Peter is a good little boy. And, the two women are just going at it tooth and nail. And the two kids are sitting there saying to themselves, hey, this is neat. This is neat. And Johnny and Peter are talking to each other. And they say, I got enough of this. Let's go play. And they go out in the backyard and play, forgetting all about the nonsense. But Mama and Mama are going at it tooth and nail. Now, perhaps Mama and Mama looked down. Where are the kids? And then they go to the back window, and there they are playing outside, just having a ball. And then the mama and the mama look at each other and say, isn't this stupid? We're letting ourselves get upset over our kids who were upset for 2 seconds, and now they're playing again, and we're still upset. Let's have a cup of coffee. And they sit down, and they have a cup of tea. And they just thoroughly enjoy the cocoa so much with the cookies they got. They think, this is wonderful. And then they say, you know, we don't talk to each other enough. We don't share enough with each other. Say, come on over to my house. You only have cookies. I got chocolate cake. And wow. So they go over to her house. She got the chocolate cake. And she brings out a bottle of bourbon. And she pours a big shot. And so they drink this scotch. And they just eat this butternut cake. And they just think it's so delicious. Oh, and then Papa comes walking in. And he says, banana cream pie. Wow, that's my favorite. You see, it's all in the observation. It's all in what you see. And what kind of banana cream pie was it? It was banana cream pie with schnapps, with little chocolate things on top of it. They're filled with schnapps. And he says, that's my favorite. Oh, boy. And he pops a couple of schnapps in his mouth. And as he does, he says, this coffee is delicious. I'll have some more. And you see, we name it, we claim it, we experience it. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it is. But we give it. We didn't forget about Johnny and Peter. They came in from playing and they said, how come you guys are having a party? You didn't invite us. And the mama would say, well, you're here now. What kind of chocolate ice cream would you like? You like vanilla? You like butterscotch? What do you want? And each of the boys, they say, Mommy, all I want is a smile from your face. When I got a smile from your face, I'm full, right up to the brim. Now, you say, Herb, you certainly went the gambit there, didn't you? Cakes and pie and schnapps and coffee, tea and cocoa, all these good things. What did you do that for? Just to show you that it's not important what it is. It's not important what's included in it. It's not important to give a recitation of what went on at the party. Just that there was a party. And what does party mean? Ingeborg, what does party mean?
Happiness.
A party means happiness. A party means having fun. A party means smiling hearts. It doesn't matter what you have, is it? You can have a party and bring out a bunch of strawberries. Just strawberries. And you can have a party bringing out pretzels. And you can have a party bringing out crackers. You know, simple soda crackers. And you can have a party bringing out nothing but a happy heart, filled with joy and peace. You see, to praise another is to praise ourselves. So when we start praising each other, we say, Sylvia, you look so lovely today. Thanks a lot. How did I look yesterday? No. Don't qualify it. Sylvia, you look so lovely. And she says, I feel good. How do we feel? Good. We say, Ellen, my God, when did you get that new haircut? It looks gorgeous. And Ellen says in herself, not out loud, I got this haircut 2 months ago and I haven't touched it since. Now, what are you talking about? But she doesn't say it out loud. She just said, thank you. I'm glad you like it. I put a lot of time on this one. 2 months letting it grow to where it is today. But you see, we take the compliments. We take them. But the biggest joy is to give them. Give praise. Give praise. Give praise to Ellen for her tiny feet. Did you ever notice how tiny her feet are? She could put two of her feet in one of my shoes. Give Ellen praise for those little faces that she has on her knees. Each one of her knees has a smiling face on it. Have you ever noticed? Take a look sometime. She has the happiest little knees that you could ever imagine. They're the kind of knees that a guy would just love to kiss, you know. Have you ever noticed how how trim her figure is? Her breast is just gently out there in perfect proportion to the rest of her body. Have you ever noticed how her eyes are always sparkling? Always. There's never a time when her eyes aren't sparkling. She may be going through ups and downs, ins and outs, but her eyes are always sparkling because she knows that inside she really is happy, even though the outer experience might dictate that it's not too much fun. But she goes through it with a smile. Did you ever notice how every organ, action, function of her body is always perfect? Always perfect. That's why she is working in the healing ministry. She's a role model. She's a role model for everyone who writes into the healing ministry and says, would you please treat that I'm whole and perfect? And Ellen says, well, just look at me, sir, and you got a good example, you know. No, she just says, you're whole and perfect. She knows whereof she speaks because she's whole and perfect. Now, should I go through the rest of you and tell you all how wonderful you are? You'd love it. You'd love it. I'm not going to, but you'd love it. Because when I praise you, I'm praising myself. The minute I praise you, you look at me and say, thank you, you're wonderful too. Thank you. Thank you, you're very thoughtful, you're very observant. Thank you. You see? Now, it always comes back. It always comes around the corner again. Every time we bless somebody, every time we praise somebody, we feel good, which is enough. It's enough for us to feel good, but that's not the end. But whenever we praise somebody, we're praising ourselves. We're pouring goodness into our own coffer. We're pouring goodness into our own life experience. Goodness just flows to us because we're in the flow of goodness. Are you ready to experience a life of only goodness? Huh?
Yes.
Then everybody, praise your neighbor, praise your friend, and praise yourself. But mainly, praise everybody else. Praise everybody and tell everybody how wonderful they are. Tell everybody how beautiful they are. And if anyone comes into your world ever, instead of looking for an ulterior motive, look into it that they came into your world because they love you, because they wanted to share with you, because they wanted to be a happy time in your world. Think of that, because that's really the way it is. To praise another is to praise yourself. When I praise another, I'm praising myself. Because I cannot see in another anything unless it's in me. Oh, well, look at that genius. He's a mathematical genius. He can do all these figures in his head. You can too. You can too. If you can recognize him doing it, you can do it too. What keeps you from doing it? Motivation. Motivation. I told you the story about the two boys. They wanted a date with this girl. And the girl said, okay, the first one to pick me up with a convertible, I'm with you. And one boy got over there quite quickly, and another boy got over there just a minute later. And she said to the other boy, who was her favorite, why did it take you so long? He said, well, it's tough working with a can opener. To praise another is to praise yourself. To praise another is to praise yourself. And just realize they love you even without the can opener. They love you with the top on or the top off. You don't create yourself ever in competition with anybody. just praise another, because that's a pure reflection of yourself. I love you.